Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I hit so many conference tournament games. It's unbelievable. Why hesitate? Now's the time. Sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. Thursday to Sunday this week, we lose our minds. Great deal, better picks. Every college game, every tournament that's going on, plus NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA, you get it all. You name it, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget Pharrell on the Bets, my Westwood One sports betting podcast. Tomorrow, episode 175 drops 6:30 Eastern on iTunes. Subscribe free. Follow on Twitter at OnTheBets. WWO. Check out my podcast. All I do is hit winners on there for you. All you got to do is subscribe free and listen to it, and you'll have winners in your face. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So this next guy is the head coach at UC Irvine, Russell Turner, doing just incredible things out in Southern California with the Anteaters. Let's hook up and talk about their big shot here in the NCAA tournament. I got to tell you, Coach, I was in Dallas, right, on Saturday watching the Spence-Garcia fight, but I was in my room late at night, and I'm a fan of yours and your team, so I'm from Huntington Beach, and so I've, like, done shows in your gym and everything else. I've done, like, events there when they had, like, a Bellator fight there one night or something. But I've always been an Anteater fan. And all I know is I've been shouting Anteaters all year from the mountaintops. So here I am, like, Saturday night, late night. I get back from the fight, and here you guys are. And I'm watching this game, you know, in your conference title game. And you guys were just rocking it. I got to tell you. You guys put a beating on them. That was something else.
Yay, man. Thanks for being with us the whole way, Scott. I appreciate you, man.
I mean, you guys really I'm watching this game, and I'm sitting there like it was ugly. At the end, it was like – and you guys weren't even trying to rub it in, but you just kept doing it because you guys couldn't miss. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a good night to be an Anteater. That's right.
I think it is great. I mean, you know, I look at your team, and in my view, Russ, you haven't lost in about a month and a half. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's been a while. 16 straight games. I know that.
So, I mean, how did you get them to roll like this? This isn't the first time you've had this team rocking before.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten steadily better, and we just got a really veteran team full of good guys, you know, who've made sacrifices for each other, and we've gained momentum and energy off of that. And right now, we got a lot of guys playing well. We got a deep, talented team, and we defend every time, and our offense has really played well here coming down the stretch.
I mean, it is unbelievable. I'm watching this game, and you guys were shooting, I think, literally in that game over 70% from downtown. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. We had an unbelievable night, but Fullerton had done that to us last year. So my guys were really motivated and really locked into that matchup, and it showed up in the way things happened for us. You know, it was just one of those great nights to be on the winning side.
Tell me about, I mean, how do you get this kid Welp off the bench? Drops, I mean, like 9 of 12 from the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quality. But then you had other guys doing it. Hazard did the same thing. You get two guys going off like that, it can cause problems for somebody.
Yeah, you know, Colin Welp is a really, really talented freshman. And we knew he was going to have a great year. I didn't expect him to have the kind of game in a championship that he did. But I'm not surprised. You know, Colin's dad was the best player in the history of the University of Washington, played in the NBA for a little while. So he's got some natural ability that was on display the other night. And happy for him and happy for our team because we got 9 different guys who've led us in scoring this year. We got 4 different guys who've made game-winning shots. So we're deep and talented.
I mean, no doubt. I love watching you guys. You crash the boards. You really move the ball. I think, I mean, you dime guys to death, and I think, you know, and play defense. You get a lot of steals and transition buckets, and guys seem, as I was watching it the other night, all lonely in my room, I was going, man, I play ball 7 days a week, coach, so I can tell you, you move the ball beautifully. I'm about 6'3", 220, dropping 17 a clip, coach. You got to sign me up, a late night host dropping 17 a clip.
Hey, you got to guard if you're going to play for us, Scott.
Listen, I'm 53. I don't have to guard anybody. I got to guard my wife from going out with her friends and causing trouble. So tell me how you think the tournament this year is going to go for you guys.
Well, man, I couldn't be more excited about the draw that we got, not because of the opponent, but because of the location. We're going to play in San Jose, so all of our fans here around Irvine can make the trip. They can make a drive and watch us play. And even better than that, it's finals week here because we're on the quarter system. So people have a chance to finish their work and come start their spring break in the NCAA tournament with us. That's exciting. And the Kansas State matchup is a tough one for us. Their team's a lot like ours in that they're a defensive-oriented team. We faced them a little more than a year ago in Kansas State, and they drilled us. So hopefully we can learn and improve off of that game. And I do think we can compete, so it should be fun.
So I was looking at the brackets when they first came out or whatever for the show, and the first thing I did, I took the Anteaters to upset Kansas State. I think Kansas State is a good team. And the thing is, I just didn't think, you know, I like Texas Tech, K-State, and Kansas I thought was a little down this year, and they didn't win the conference. I thought K-State was really good, but I thought they were beatable. In my view, I thought they were a team. Those teams, I think, are all beatable this year. So the way you guys roll and shoot and hit from outside, I actually took you. Now, Carver High, God is my witness, did I not take Irvine to win that game? And did you take them, Carver High?
Yeah, you're on them. I'm on them. I told Coach on the phone before I put him on with you that I'm rooting for him on Friday.
That's
so
what I'm talking about.
I'm all
about.
In on the Anteaters, baby.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, there's plenty of room on the Anteater bandwagon, man. Let's all get on it.
So how do you like the gig? Because I know that you've done everything, pros, college. Then you end up in Irvine, and you've been a, you know, multiple Big West Coach of the Year, and you've done this dance with this team before. How do you like it?
Man, I live in a great place. You said you're from Huntington Beach, so you know how good it is here in Irvine to wake up every day in this place. It's a world-class university, and I really like the type of kids that I can attract here that fit in this community because they're good people. You know, I've got young kids myself, and the players I got are just really committed, hardworking guys, and they're fun to coach. And one of the reasons we got the momentum we have this year is because all of them have made sacrifices for the good of our team, and that's really a fun thing to experience as a coach, and hope we can keep doing it here for a long time because we are getting better.
What did you think of your gig in the NBA with the Warriors? I'm an old Don Nelson. Was a buddy of mine when I worked in San Francisco. Nelly's the best. He's a freak. What was that experience like for you?
Well, I tell everybody that college is supposed to be the funnest 4 years of your life. But for me, unquestionably, the funnest 4 years of my life was a four-hour roll with Nelly. He is a special person, a genius about the game, and just incredibly creative, innovative, and fun to be around. So I credit a lot of the success that I've had to the different things I learned and watching him through the course of four NBA seasons. It was a lot of fun. And you know, I've been fortunate enough, I mean, really fortunate to work with other Hall of Fame coaches, too. I worked with Mike Montgomery at Stanford, and I worked with Dave Odom at Wake Forest. So I've got varied experience, and I love the NBA, but where I am now is a really good fit for me, too.
So you made it into the second round going back to 14-15, but you've been in all of these different tournaments. It makes men out of these guys. How much of that NBA stuff rubs off on these kids in terms of your coaching, being able to, I believe, be almost, in my view, at a different level, being so experienced at both the college game and then having that dash of NBA that you got in your blood, in my view, that only helps those kids.
You know, I think it does help us in recruiting because kids are interested in the NBA. And I think that the NBA provides a different type of experience because there's so many more games. The style of play in the NBA is altogether different than college. So they're like different industries. But you can learn so much from one or the other. And to bring NBA ideas and apply them to college, I think has really helped me on both the offensive and the defensive ends. And the players get excited when I share stories about things I've seen in the NBA. And we've got four guys on our teams whose families have played in the NBA. We have Walt Hazard's grandson, and we've got Doc Rivers' son, and we got Chris Webb's son, and we got Caron Butler's son. So we got, you know, a lot of NBA connection in our team that I think does make us different.
That's crazy. 30 wins. Is this the best team you ever coached in all of those, postseason teams you've had? Is this the best one?
Well, yeah, the best one here at Irvine for sure, now that we've won 30 games and won both the regular season and the tournament. What these guys have accomplished is special. You know, I was able to be a part of two 30-win teams at Stanford, both of which at some time were ranked number one in the country. So what we're doing here in getting this many number of wins is really rare and really special. And I credit the players for it, because we got great senior leadership. We got real commitment in our team, and just excited about it. Yeah, this is the best team we've had here at Irvine.
Well, sure. Listen, good luck Friday in San Jose, Russell Turner. You're doing a hell of a job out in Irvine. You're a great coach. I love watching your guys play ball. You've really made them a special team to watch. I think it's going to be a fantastic game against the Wildcats. All the best, and keep rocking with the Anteaters. You've really made your mark there. Again, a hell of a job you've done.
Hey, man, I really appreciate those kind words, and I thank you guys for having me and UC Irvine on your show.
There he is, Russell Turner, head coach at Irvine. They're getting ready. UC Irvine, the Anteaters, rocking Friday in San Jose against K-State, the Manhattan Bunch that ended up tied with Texas Tech in the Big 12. Should be a war. There he is getting benched on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Don't forget Pharrell on the Bench tomorrow on my sports betting podcast. Drops at 6:30. Subscribe for you. If you want in on all the action for, you know, all of these tournaments, the NIT, the NCAA, CBI, CIT, all of them, you just got to listen to the podcast. It's like a half-hour sports betting show every day. I think you'll dig it. It's free. Subscribe. Follow on Twitter, at OnTheBets, WWO. There you go. And PharrellOnTheBench.com for everything else. That's got it all on there, too, in an email format. You'll dig it. So I'm watching Portland kicking a Pacers ass, 91-72, about 11 minutes left in that one. And I'm watching the Jets. They were up, I think, Carver High, 3-2 on the Kings. Is that about right? I think they're playing in L.A.
I believe so.
3-2 after 2. I don't know if they've... I think they're in a break right now, going to the third period in Lipstick City. Xander in Wisconsin, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, so what's up, Pharrell?
Hey, man.
I wanted to talk about the 76ers and how they're, you know, they're with all these new additions, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler to the roster. What do you think they're going to do in the Eastern Conference this year?
Well, it's funny, I was talking about them on tomorrow's podcast that you know, I really liked the way they won that game in Milwaukee. That was a huge win for them, if you ask me. I think it showed how dangerous they can be. They've won 4 in a row. And, you know, to go there to Milwaukee and to come back and win that game by 5, everybody just is constantly handing Milwaukee, you know, MVPs, Greek Freak, and, you know, the NBA Finals. And then it's everybody saying, oh, it's Milwaukee and Toronto. It's a done deal. I still believe that Boston and Philly are best, prepped for playoff success. I think they're the real meal in the conference when it comes to postseason play, those two. Philly and Boston still. I just can't believe Toronto. They've always let everybody down, and I don't believe I do think Philly's in a better position than both of them, too, because I think they're built that way. I just think they're a postseason playoff team.
What do you think about the Lakers?
I think they're trash.
Yeah, but like, what do you think? Do you think they're going to trade LeBron?
They're not trading LeBron. I've heard that in the last few days, and I find that laughable. I mean, he's their business model now for the next 4 years, right? So that's it. Like, go to L.A. like I did, and go downtown in L.A. and you won't even see literally anything else except LeBron James. He's their business model. So what they're going to do is they're going to give him whatever he wants, and they're going to get rid of everyone else, including the coach. But I got to tell you, it makes me sick to my stomach that they're constantly on my TV. You know, if you're that bad, you don't deserve to be on national television every night. That's it. And no one wants to watch a crappy team. Whereas I can watch you can never watch the Sacramento Kings play. You can't watch any of these good young players play that are exciting to watch, like Doncic. They try to squeeze him in a little bit, but, you know, they don't show teams, besides the Lakers and Warriors and the Celtics and Sixers. Those are the only four teams they show in the NBA on television. And Rockets. That's it. That's it.
Well, you only have a couple more weeks left of the Lakers being on TV. So, because they won't be on TV when it matters.
Well, thank God for that. But that's my point exactly. They're a terrible team. I'm sick of watching them. I'm sick of hearing about them. And I'm sick of people saying now, what do you think they're going to do, trade LeBron? Please. Do you remember the latest story? Didn't I send you a story about how they were going to move to the Forum?
I did see that story today.
What is that
about?
Well,
no, that was something that's not that it was talked about a couple years ago. It is not happening.
Why would they do that? For what reason on God's earth would they go back into that old barn?
I guess they wanted to, like, build their own place or something, because I don't know what the deal is with them with Staples.
Well, what do they do there now besides, what, concerts and stuff?
Pretty much. Didn't you go there for a Bellator fight or something, or a boxing match?
Well, they've had fights there. They definitely have had fights there. I mean, I used to go to games at the Forum. I think it's great and everything, but you can't go, really. Like, so here it is. Lakers explored leaving Staples Center for a return to the Forum in this story that the LA Times wrote, I believe. Here we go. Here's my dream. Azoff emailed Buss and Rambus in June of 2017. Rebuild the Forum from scratch. Lakers plus music. Boom. So, in other words, Lakers and concerts, right? And that would be the arena.
Yeah, and they would build that. You know, that's what they were talking about, making it like a mecca to the Lakers, pretty much.
They're talking about an extension to their Staples lease that runs already through 25. MSG approached the Lakers about the possibility of returning to the Forum following the end of our lease at Staples in 2025, but nothing came from the discussions, the team said late last week. So
that's another one of these stories, like when a player gets traded, it's, well, the Patriots actually offered more for Antonio Brown than the Steelers got, or this guy actually had this deal on the table and took this.
They were in on it.
What does it matter? It didn't happen, so who cares?
Why would you do that anyway? Go back in time, I guess. I don't know. Like, how do you leave that great building? Like, we went to it. That's a great building, too, right? The Staples is fantastic.
It was awesome.
But it's been around a while now. I don't know how many years. It was there when I lived there, right? So I left there and came here in, like, I guess, what, 2000? So it was there then. I mean, that building's old, isn't it? Is it about 20, 25 years old? I don't even know. Carver High refusing to cooperate with the investigation into how old it is based on the fact that he's an Eastern Conference supporter in the NHL, does not support the West or the Western Conference or any teams that play in buildings therein. Which I find interesting. Matt in Ohio, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, how are you tonight?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, great show tonight, dude. I really enjoyed that interview you did earlier with that female.
Yeah, yeah, she was great. Kelly Stewart, she's on the new show, Action, on Showtime that starts Sunday.
Okay, awesome. Hey, I watched that fight on Saturday night, and, you know, at the end, Spence called out Pacquiao, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on what you think that fight would be like.
Well, I thought that I think it's embarrassing that that's what they're going to give us next is Spence and Pacquiao, to be honest with you. They should have the old fogey fight and give Pacquiao Mayweather again. And I think that I'd rather see Spence fight Bud Crawford, and that's all there is to it. Now they're saying Sean Porter as well. It's the old fogeys club.
Wait a second. Time out here. This dude, after he won on Saturday night, was calling out old man Manny Pacquiao.
Yes.
He just wiped the floor with Mikey Garcia. How old is Spence now? What did I see, 28, 29, somewhere in that area?
Yeah.
And he's looking to fight Manny Pacquiao? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I know there's
not a lot of people to fight, but you go pick the oldest guy going? I mean, come on, dude. That guy just went a couple notches down on my on my board.
Well, I don't know. He said, if not Pacquiao, then I'll smoke Sean Porter. If he wants a piece of this, come get it.
Well, of course he's calling out Pacquiao because, first of all, everyone's ducking in that division, so there's very few guys who have the guts to fight him like a Manny Pacquiao. And second of all, after what he just made in that fight, why is he going to go back and say, you know what, let me go fight one of these other guys on a free card on the PBC that I'll get, you know, maybe 100,000 people to watch? No, he's going to say, let me call out the one that still draws people in Manny Pacquiao, make myself a couple million on a huge card in Vegas.
So 99 it opened. So like the last year I was living there. So ESPN Plus will be exclusive home of UFC pay-per-view events. Do you like that? Mafia, now the pay-per-view will be all ESPN Plus for UFC.
No, that's a pain in the ass because you know what? I have it, you have it, but not everybody does. And not everybody's going to go buy it because some of these cards that they're putting on there, nobody cares about. But maybe they like the, you know, the pay-per-views. But now to go do the pay-per-view, what? They have to go buy the ESPN Plus to go spend another $60 to get the pay-per-view? Like,
that's exactly what they're doing.
It's ridiculous.
Bottom line is that when they're done with you, they'll squeeze you for everything you're worth. I mean, they're going to charge you for every good fight. If there's a good card, you're paying for it. They're not going to be – all their cards that are average will be on ESPN Plus.
Plus, then I have to buy it on the streaming service and then put it on my TV with some other app. Like, I can't just do it right onto my TV from my cable box.
They're clearly finding ways to fleece you, without a doubt. Now, what did you think of Masvidal knocking Till's face off with that left temple shot the other night in London? And what's more, tell me what you thought of the post-fight where he went after that guy. Is it Edwards?
Yeah, Leon Edwards.
And he lit him up, too, in the tunnel of the stadium. He beat his face in, too, didn't he?
Yeah, they got into it for sure. I mean, that fight was a great fight. It was very back and forth. Both guys were landing good shots until actually had the upper hand in that fight going to that point. I thought that he was winning the fight. He was keeping the distance, getting some good shots. And then Masvidal just went for broke early with that hook and caught him right at the perfect spot. And he was out right from that hook. There was a couple other punches
going,
and
he
kind of threw him to the ground. But you could tell right after that punch, lights out. And he upsets him in his home country, and that was very impressive for him. That gets him back in the mix as one of the top contenders. And then he went after Edwards while he was doing an interview. Edwards walked by and yelled at him, and I guess wants to fight him next because he tried to do it in the back right afterwards.
Well, you saw the video, right, of him just landing shots.
Yeah.
Is he in trouble?
He's probably going to be in trouble. That's stupid for him. The cops went to the hotel afterwards. I doubt that's going to become charges or anything like that, but it's going to be something from the UFC where he gets fined or maybe.
What do you mean? So the cops went to Masvidal's hotel to what? Have cookies with him?
I guess both of them. I think they went to both the hotel afterwards to talk about the fight and, you know, if they're going to be charges or something like that. But I don't think there's anything going to be. It's going to come.
Please. Can't the Popo stay out of the UFC, you know, after fight?
It's pretty stupid, though. Right after you get that huge win that puts you back in a possible title contention to go do something like that in the back where it's going to piss off your bosses.
He's Habib. These guys can't handle winning. They can't just walk out and get out of there. They always have to beat up someone else. They're always getting in fight. All these guys are, I mean, let's face facts. They're all a bunch of fighters, right? So they're not exactly the Harvard educated. They're a bunch of fighters. All they know is talking smack and getting in fights, right? I mean, they beat people up for a living. And then when they're not fighting, what do you think they're doing? They're planning on fighting. Or they're starting another fight with someone else, which makes them a lethal weapon in public. Isn't that true? So when they pick a fight in public, it better be against another fighter because they could hurt you or me.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I saw this story Carver High gave me about who got screwed in the NCAA brackets, and they listed all the teams that got screwed. It was UNC Greensboro and Indiana, and then TCU. Tennessee got shafted, which looks wonderful, but they have to, didn't you say, play in Columbus if they're playing in Columbus, so they got to play Ohio, or who is it, Ohio?
Cincinnati.
I guess, is that why they feel shafted? Is that what they're...
They're going into Cincinnati. They think they're shafted, yeah.
Well, I mean, that is, you know, you are a 2 seed. You're going to have to basically play a 7 if they win, you know, with their home crowd in front of them, which is...
Right. Even if they survive to the Sweet 16, they might have to go through Villanova, which can shoot threes, and then just for fun, they would face Virginia after that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I mean, honestly, I know that people were pumping up Tennessee all year, but, like, what have they ever done, like, to garner any type of respect?
Well, when you're a number 2 seed, should you have that brutal track?
What's brutal here? I mean, I get the Cincinnati part that you'd have to play them in Ohio, but it's not like Tennessee is on the other side of the country. They should have some fans there. This is not the same Villanova team. I admit that would be tough if they had to play in the Sweet 16. Virginia loses every single year in a tournament. Virginia never does anything.
Right.
So, I mean, so you're telling me you would have rather been in Duke's bracket or North Carolina's bracket?
I really don't think that anyone in that group in Columbia or San Jose in the South region can beat Virginia, including any of them.
I think that that whole entire region is going to be a mess. Absolutely.
It might be a mess, but Gardner Webb's not beating them. Even though they lost to Baltimore County last year, they're not doing that again, I don't believe, for one second. I don't think Ole Miss or Oklahoma can beat them. In fact, neither one of them, you could say, could barely deserve to be in the tournament. Wisconsin and Oregon, I think they're, you know, good. They're
I think Oregon
not,
can beat them.
They're good, but I don't think they're good enough to beat that Virginia team. That Virginia team does two things well. They shoot threes, and they play defense better than any team in that whole region.
Well, teams that live and die on shooting threes,
that's a problem.
They can die fast. So.
Okay, so, Mavi, do you believe that Virginia will not get through the South? And you know, even in, let's say, the first couple games, I mean, I think those games are a joke for them. They're too good.
I think that they're going to lose in that second weekend, I think. I think Kansas State's got a good chance of upsetting them.
But not the first weekend.
Not the first weekend. They're going to get through the first weekend. It's going to be the second weekend of the treacherous for them. You know, I was believing in them this year. They really had me reeled in for a while there. But now they actually had offense. Now they were deep. Now it wasn't just, we're going to shut you down and hope that we scratch out enough points. And then that ACC tournament just made me go back to, they're the same team.
They said that North Carolina got shafted. A brutal draw, and Iona in the first round that they'll win. Second round game would be against Utah State or Washington. Both of them have great defense and Washington ball pressure. And then if they win that, it's the second weekend, they would have Kansas in Kansas City.
I have a problem with that. But
how did they get a play at home?
We'll see as a four seed. I can't stand this. And they do this with Kansas every single year. I feel like they're always lined up to play, you know, 30 miles from campus, you know, every year.
Right.
And this year, they're not even a one seed. Usually when they're a one, and they're like, well, you know, they're a one. They're a four this year. Now, I don't even think they're going to get there because I think that Auburn will take them out if they play them. In
wow.
fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Northeastern beat Kansas coming up this
whoa.
Week. That's how much
whoa,
I'm in
whoa,
on
whoa.
Them.
Where's the sheet of integrity?
So Kansas, forget about them. Now, why is that North Carolina shift? Let's be honest here. Is everybody supposed to have easy roads?
Cakewalk.
Is that how it's supposed to go?
Uh-huh.
I'll admit, Duke has an easy road. But you want to know what? Duke's the number one overall seed in the entire tournament. They should have the easiest road. That's what you get for being the number one overall seed.
There you go. They say Michigan State got screwed. Their draw to the Elite Eight is favorable. They have the weakest number 7, 10, and 15 in the tournament. Bradley or Minnesota, neither one can shoot to save their life, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Even after that, Michigan State is matched up with either LSU or Maryland. And I don't know. I don't see what's so brutal about that at all.
Well, everybody, I guess, has to be given a walk to the Final Four.
It's easy.
If you're Michigan State or Duke or North Carolina or Kansas or any of these teams, you're supposed to walk there, I guess.
Seton Hall finished with an incredible flourish after three straight losses to Xavier, St. John's, and Georgetown to fall into trouble. They closed out with home wins over Marquette and Nova. But in the Big East tournament, they proceeded to beat Georgetown with ease. Blah, blah, blah. They ended up with 7 quadrant one wins, 7 quadrant two wins, blah, 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 blah. So what did they get? A number 10 seed. Even worse, they matched up with Wofford. Do you think they'll beat Wofford, your team, Seton Hall? Will they lose to Wofford? Because everybody thinks they're going to lose.
I don't. I think they're going to beat Wofford. I think they have a chance to beat Kentucky in the second game. I don't like their seeding. I think they got screwed. They always get put in the 10 seed, always get matched up against a 2 seed in the second round if they make it. I don't like how the committee's done that to them. Like every time they've been there the last 10 years, but I still think they're going to win. They're hot right now.
Honestly, I don't think that – I looked at it at first, and I'm like, man, they got a 10. You got to look at it a little bit closer here. Honestly, 7, 8, 9, 10, there's not much difference here. There really isn't. You're playing the same type of team out of those four seeds, and no matter what, if you win your game, you're playing either a 1 or a 2. So no matter what, you're going to face a heavy in the second round if you're seeded 7 through 10. Here's an advantage for Seton Hall. Yeah, they're a 10. They're playing a mid-major 7. They should beat Wofford, and I expect that they will. And then they're playing a team that they've already beaten this year. They know they can beat Kentucky. They have done it already. So I think that that's actually
– when was that, Mavi, that you
really
beat Kentucky?
Early, back in November.
They beat them at the Rock or some conference holiday tournament?
No, I think it was in Kentucky, actually, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look that back. But I don't think it was at the Rock.
So just remember, tomorrow night, believe it or not, that first game is at 6:40, so it'll be well over by the time we get on the air. And then we'll be there for the Temple-Belmont game tomorrow night. Those are at True TV. They beat him at the Garden. Seton Hall beat Kentucky at the Garden. 84-83, Seton Hall won that game. And then Wednesday, 6:40 is North Carolina Central and North Dakota State. And then after that one is St. John's, Arizona State. We'll be here for that one. So basically the nightcap both nights, I would guess, right? Temple, Belmont, and then St. John's, Arizona State. So just so you know, the games start Thursday, obviously, 12:15. I know that Minnesota and Louisville are on CBS for that game. And then after that, they're going to show Bradley, Michigan State. These are on the network. And then at 7 at night, Abilene against Kentucky will be on the network. And then after that, I think they're going to show Seton Hall and Wofford. So that's on Thursday. All the other games, as you know, are on True TV, TNT, or TBS. And then on Friday at noon, 12:15, Iowa and Cincinnati on the network. And then Colgate, Tennessee on the network. And then at 7:10, they're going to show the winner of the play-in game against Duke. Duke will be on CBS at 7:10 on Friday night. And then after that one, UCF and VCU on the network. That'll be a good one late when we're on the air on Friday night. So just so you know, I love that action. That Thursday and Friday, is this not the greatest week of television ever? In sports, when they start this thing,
it is Thursday and Friday is what it's all about. I like how they staggered it now. They've put all the games on four different networks. You can watch any game that you want. It really is good. If you got a setup where you can get 2, 3, or 4 TVs going, it's even better. So I love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch everything. Shane in Alabama, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
So Pharrell, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, I was just calling in. I heard what you guys are talking about the seeding, and I want to say War Eagle, and how do you feel about Tennessee being a 2 and Auburn being a 5? I don't think we were underseeded, but their path, I feel like, is much easier than ours.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. All I know is you beat their ass. That's all that matters, and the reason why they're a number 2 is because – at the end of the day, right, they had a better season, right? Overall, even though they beat them in the tournament, they were both going anyway, weren't they? I mean, Auburn was going to get in either way. And I just think that, you know, one team lost, you know, 9 games. The other one lost 5. So
I mean, look at it this way.
I think most people knew Tennessee
would be
better.
Just because you beat them heads up doesn't mean that you deserve to have better seating than them or anything like that. I mean, Tennessee was number 1 for multiple weeks this year.
Right.
They beat Kentucky twice. They beat Gonzaga. I mean, Tennessee has really
right.
good wins. I think they're a joke. I think that they're going to lose early. But they have really good wins
I don't think
year.
They're a joke at all. I think they're a good team. But I'll say this. At least Auburn got that big conference tournament trophy in their foyer. You got to put that big trophy in the lobby of the arena. You know what I mean? Like, you love winning trophies, because you're not going to win a trophy at this tournament.
This is what I heard today. I forget who said it. It was somewhere on Twitter.
Right.
I saw somebody
right.
say it. Whenever you start trusting Auburn, right when they look like they're good enough that you start trusting them, that's when they show you why you don't trust them anymore.
Have you watched this guy, this coach, lose his mind, Pearl? Did you see me tweet that yesterday?
No, I did not.
I tweeted out yesterday when I was watching that game that he was 3 minutes into the game, his guard got his second foul, and he literally took his coat off and started having a conniption. I mean, this guy was turning green. He was so mad. Purple wasn't the color. It was literally death green. He was literally purple and green, a combo meal. Remember when you used to mix the colors when you were a kid and you'd yell to your mommy, look, it's purple. You'd use, like, yellow and orange, and it turned into purple or something. His face, I've never seen that guy, is he not clearly going to drop dead on a basketball court? He's going to have an aneurysm and drop dead on the court, isn't he? Have you ever seen anyone get as worked up as him? Even Bob Knight.
Yeah, he's definitely up there in that category.
He's number 1. Who gets crazier than him? I mean, that guy is an absolute conniption waiting to happen. Eli in Milwaukee.
Scotty, what's up?
Shigadu,
can I get a shot of beer?
Shot of beer, and an iron shot of beer, pew.
All right, Scotty, what do you think about my Marquette Golden Eagles? How many games do you think they can win in this tourney?
Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I think they'll beat Murray State, but I think that'll be a hell of a game. I think I'm leaning on middling that one and, you know, Marquette to win and Murray to cover the number. So I think Marquette's a good team. And they can score. They got their big-time score. But bottom line is this. They're very beatable. I mean, they're beatable. You know what I mean? They're a team that could lose at any point. I just don't have any full confidence in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like Murray State to beat Marquette in the first
game. I mean, a lot of people are picking Murray State to
win. Line's 4.5. I mean, it's a small line right now.
I mean, there's a chance they could beat him. Ja Morant's a tough player. I tend to think Marquette played in a lot of big games this year, and that goes a long way with me. Mike in Chicago.
Hey, what's up, Pharrell?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, man, I got North Carolina going to take the whole thing, man. You know, that's my pick. You know,
I like him. I like him a lot. In fact, I got to be honest with you. I got my Michael Jordan light blue heel. I've had him for 3 years. I've never worn him once, only in the house. Won't wear him outside. That's like a death sentence if you wear him outside. So I may have to bust those out because I agree with you. If I were to guess tonight who I would say is going to win the national championship, my guess is North Carolina. I'm with you. I like that team. I think they're badass.
Yeah, I think they could have beat Duke, man.
Well, they did beat him twice without Zion, and then they lost to him by one. And, in fact, I thought, Mike, that the last possession in that game with 10 seconds left and that shot by White was just a bad three, falling backwards. He still almost made it, and they had the offensive board. They could have won that game. I thought the last possession was poorly handled. But they could have just as easily won that game as lost that game. I'm with you, bro. I like the heels. But I know everybody else thinks Duke's going to win it, and you might as well not even play the games because of, you know, Duke and Zion TV. Everybody's on Duke everywhere. I hope they lose.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.